Good evening. Welcome to this memorial celebration of life service for Tom Donnan. My name is Jeff Bean. I'm the associate pastor at Glenview Alliance Church down the road. And for the last 4.5 years, I've had the privilege of getting to know Deb and Tom and the family. And I consider this a real honor to be a part of this celebration of life service. I encourage you, as we look at Scripture, as we listen to stories that are going to be shared, let's take some time and really reflect on what Tom has meant to each one of us in that unique way. Let's take time to pause and allow those memories, allow those times when he brought us joy to really resonate and allow that to really sink in as we are in this Advent Christmas season. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and give him this service. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to come. We thank you for the opportunity to worship. We thank you that you have prepared a place for us. In the midst of unknowns, you are known. You are certain. You are peace. You are our strong tower. You are our ever-present help in time of need. This did not surprise you. This did not catch you off guard. But some of us come tonight with questions saying, what in the world is going on? And I thank you that even in those storms, even in those valleys, you say, peace, be still. You say, come, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So as we grieve, as we remember Tom on this earth, let us remember where he is, that he is where we want to be, and that is in your presence, seeing you face to face, where there is no more sorrow, no more sickness, and no more pain. So Lord, as the psalmist says, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together the old hymn, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. At this time, Michelle's going to come and share some family memories.
Cindy Donnan says, Patrick remembers going to Pawpaw's house, and Pawpaw would always take time to play with him, play horse and let Patrick ride on his back, play ball, etc. And Pawpaw always had snacks to feed him and milk to drink. His daughter, Katie, when I try and think of one favorite memory of my dad, it's hard to do. My dad was my person, and every memory I have is priceless. Every time my kids would tell me of their adventures playing with Pawpaw in the basement or waiting to call at 12 a.m. on our birthday to wish him a happy birthday, I think one that stands out is the most to me is when I had gotten to high school and my brothers were off at college. I would mow the grass at home for him because I liked it and it made me feel cool. After I finished with the yard, my dad would take me to get ice cream and play a round of mini golf as a treat. Forever and always, my July 5th buddy. Linda Mashuda, I got to know Tom when our daughters were practicing on the Dallastown track and field team. We were helping with the track and field boosters concession stand to raise money for the team. Tom was there helping, and I will describe him as a cross between Sonic the Hedgehog and the Energizer Bunny. He seemed to be everywhere, and he never stopped. He kept on going and going. He was always saying, let me help you with that. And he meant it. He wasn't bossy or pushy, just a man with a servant's heart. Over the years, I have seen him demonstrate the willingness to be all in for his God, church, family, and friends. I was blessed to be one of his friends. Thomas Donnan. One of my fondest memories I have of Dad is when he would tell me, my siblings and myself, that we could have some type of reward. The catch is that we had to tag him as he ran around the yard doing long sprints, strides, and numerous fake outs. He would even stop completely and wait for you to get close, and then dead sprint the opposite end of the yard. As a result, we failed miserably on numerous occasions, but it was fun to try. Jan Swarthout. I met Tom shortly after meeting his wife, Deb, when we moved in on Homeland Road in 2000. We each had three kids, close in age, and who went on the bus together. I began competitive powerlifting in 2008, and Tom was a great help. When I used to stop by, he would get out his books for me to borrow, and I learned a lot. I was especially honored when he agreed to be my coach for the Keystone State Games held at York Fairgrounds in 2008 as my trainer. Tom was outstanding. I took the gold medal in the bench and deadlift. I never forgot how happy and proud he was. I am so glad he was there that day to support me. Until we meet again, Tom, Godspeed, love and prayers to the family. Joshua Altland, the selfless act where he took us in when our family needed it, when he was teaching us shot put in the backyard. Annette Hurdle, I will not even forget the night your mom and I met your dad. We didn't want to go play volleyball, but she talked me into it. That night changed her life. She met your dad. We ended up riding around in his car. I fell asleep in the back seat. I had so much fun. We would go see him when he coached football. Your mom was in love with him the day she met him. I won't ever forget the day when they got married. It was the best day of their lives. He was a very special man, and I am so glad he was there in my life. Until we meet again, Tom Donnan. Robert Altland says, I remember that he was always made me feel a part of the family from day one, no matter what was happening. Also his smile and little laugh when he was up to no good, and his hospitality when you entered his home. Family was always number one to him. I wrote, going to Columbia football games when he was coaching, he used to take me along on dates when he was dating my sister. His brother Patrick wrote, Tommy would come over to Columbia and we would walk through the town for heartfelt health and exercise. We stopped and talked to people we saw, looked for coins that had been dropped and went to the post office and the stores for what we needed. If she was home, we'd stop at Mary's and shoot dice. He and Mary were really competitive. Preston Altland says, I remember all the times out in the backyard doing all the kinds of things with Uncle Tom. He helped me get better at throwing events for track, to shooting the basketball around, and more fun adventures. I always look forward to going over to Aunt Deb's and Uncle Tom's house and hearing all the memories of when Uncle Tom was little. I also remember when he came out and watched me play my final football game at Cougar Field. We also had some very fun times going camping as a family at Knoebels Campground and all the fun times at Summit Grove Campground. If I could take anything from all the memories is that he would be one of the first ones to say, you did your best and I love you. I will hold on to all the wonderful times we had. I love you with all my heart until we see you again. His sister Mary wrote, Being the tomboy in our family, many of the childhood memories of Tommy were spent playing outside and enjoying our love of sports. It was not unusual to find us tossing the football, playing kickball, PG ball, and a football with the neighborhood kids and our school friends. We also made up our own games. pitcher, catcher, and played tackle football and on our sleds in the wintertime. We were pretty competitive with each other. When he got into organized sports such as football, baseball, and track and field, I went to most of his games and enjoyed watching him excel at both. The competitive spirit lived into adulthood, whether it was playing a game of dice at the kitchen table with Patrick or going to play mini golf at Lewis Lane's. Tommy often kept the completed mini golf scorecards, but only proudly displayed the one score when he beat me. Where did he put that card? On his family wall in the living room, of course. I would say, I let him win. Growing up, family dinner time provided memorable moments. The dinner table seated positions placed us on opposite sides with our dad at the head of the table. Regularly, we would slide down in our seats and try to kick each other under the table. It was just a game until, with a big grin, Tommy nailed my dad instead of me. The results was harsh glare and a stern words from my dad and snicker from me. Spaghetti was a favorite meal growing up. It took on a new meaning when our sister Terry told Tommy it was actually worms with blood, which caused him to not like spaghetti for a while. One night after football practice, a hungry Tommy sat down to a steak dinner for six. Tommy picked up three steaks with his fork and put it on his plate. We never forgot our dad's booming voice as he said, "Hey, boy, what are you doing? Everyone gets one. Put them back." I will always remember our good times together through his entire life, even through his pain and final days. He made me feel he was glad to hear from me. Tommy was a fun, loving, and kind brother to Terry, Patrick, and me. He loved his family and worked tirelessly to provide the best for all of them. He truly had a heart of gold. He was a man of strong faith, loved the Lord, and knew he had a place in heaven with his name on it. I love you and will miss you always. His son, Gary. One of my fondest memories of Dad is when Mom and Dad drove 16 hours from Pennsylvania to Missouri for my basic training graduation. They went out of their way to drive me two towns over to see my Green Lantern movie just because I wanted to see it. They brought me a Green Lantern beach towel, which added to my memories of my parents always going out of their way for others. Deborah writes, "My memory I would always tell my kids about is how he would take 100 pounds worth of weight on our honeymoon."
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for memories. We thank you for the ability to laugh. We thank you for the ability to celebrate. We thank you for the ability to cry and to grieve. I'm sure as these memories were shared, other memories were jogging memories that would bring a smile or a tear. I pray we would not lose those memories, but we would hold on fast to them and reflect and be thankful for the impact that Tom has had on each one of our lives. Lord Jesus, thank you again, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it's safe to say that we live in a world full of uncertainty. I'd like to read two scriptures to you tonight. Actually, it's only three verses, but I have found these to be very profound and impactful. The first two verses come from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestors." For all eternity, the passionate commitment of the Lord of the heaven's armies will make this happen. And then from Matthew 1, verse 23, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now you might be thinking, what do these three verses have to do with the celebration of life service? Well, let me backtrack just a moment and ask this question. Would you agree that we live in a world full of uncertainty? I think many of us definitely would. I mean, let's just think about this. Many of us don't like that fact that we live in a world of uncertainty. I mean, if you think about just 12 months ago, as we were breaking bread at Thanksgiving, getting ready for Christmas, who would have thought that we would be where we're at right now? Let's take it a step farther. I mean, this living in a world of uncertainty, it seems to be the constant trend, doesn't it? Especially with your job, there's always bigger, better, faster, more productive. So nothing's guaranteed. We have seen, I don't know about you, I know I have seen through this last 9-month period, marriages and families being destroyed. There's economic turmoil, political turmoil, and the list goes on, and I'm sure you could just fill pages full of different things that would be great examples of uncertainty. In James 4, we're actually warned against boasting about tomorrow because we live in such an uncertain world. Not much is guaranteed. I mean, we can chuckle about the phrase, well, there's two things that are certain, death and taxes. But I'd like to look at two other things that are certain, and that's what these scriptures are all about. They give us certainty, they give us hope, they give us direction, and they give us encouragement that we need in December of 2020. In Isaiah, we read that Jesus is going to be the Wonderful Counselor. What's that mean, Wonderful Counselor? It means wonder in terms of awe. Awesome wonder of a counselor. A counselor, one who guides us and gives us direction. One who comforts us and pushes us forward. One that we can always go to, whose wisdom is unlike anything else. And then we read that he's also the mighty God. It doesn't just mean mankind physically strong. It means all strength and power belong to him. And then we see he's the everlasting Father, a fatherhood, a spiritual fatherhood that does not end. And then we see the Prince of Peace, a restorer of broken relationships, one who provides a well-ordered and balanced life, one who assures us of our eternal destiny. And oh, by the way, this peace will never end. That's hard for us to imagine right now, isn't it? And then it says this, it says, he will rule with fairness and justice. I can guarantee you that kind of rule is unlike anything we have seen or will see on this side of eternity. There's some certain statements in those two verses that should give us hope. And then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, we read that Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we might be asking this question. I know I have been this last year. Where is God in all of this? In this craziness, in the loss of loved ones. I can tell you, as a pastor, I have done more funerals in the last 9 months than I have in 18 years. And it has been startling to see the fear and the uncertainty of those around us. So many are asking, where is God in everything? Well, let me give you a couple of examples. Where was God? He was in the laughter. And he's in the tears. He's in the memories of Tom. He's in the memories that each of you hold near and dear to your heart. Where's God? He's catching your tears. And he will continue to do that as you grieve Tom's passing. Where is God? He's all around you. If you want him, he's right here with arms wide open, saying, come, give me your pain, give me your burden. I will give you rest. Where is God? He's in this entire process. He's in the mountaintops and the valleys. He was with Tom every step of the way, and he's with you and me every step of the way. Even though it might seem like he's silent, he is still on the move. And I would encourage you to look at the little things. People tend to look at the big extravagance. I like to find the movements of God and the Holy Spirit in the small things. And it might sound foolish, but even to the point of catching a green light when you're a little late. I know I make it a point as I pass through, say, thank you, Jesus. Catch God and the movements of the Holy Spirit in those little things every day. Think about this. There's a big difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. We can say intellectually, we get it. We can say intellectually, I understand the Word of God. But until it goes from head to heart, it's meaningless. So when we sing the old rugged cross, when we sing, it is well with my soul, we can say it here and know it here, but if we don't believe it in what I call the deep recesses of our soul, it's useless. This past week in Advent was all about peace. Do you understand God's peace? There's a song called Waymaker. I don't know if you know it or not. But it says, you're here, moving in our midst. You're working in this place. You're touching every heart, healing every heart, mending every heart, turning lives around. Where's God? Look around. Look around. When you step outside, where is God? Look up. Tomorrow around noontime, where's God? The little droplets of white that are going to fall. There's God. When he says he will, do you believe? I almost feel like the Polar Express children. I believe in the North Pole. I believe in Santa. Do you believe that Jesus cares for you? Do you believe that he holds you in his hands? When it says in 1 Corinthians 15, he gives us victory through Christ Jesus. Or in verse 55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? When it says in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God, do you know it here, not just here, but here, and are you living it out? As I read the memories that Michelle shared, and as I listened to her again, I was just, the pictures of Tom that I was just getting were quite animated. I wrote down a couple of things that I gleaned from reading those stories over and over. I loved the description of Tom, that he was a cross between Sonic the Hedgehog and the Energizer Bunny. And that definitely was Tom. Yet Tom was a godly father and husband. He made sure his relationships were right. He was a servant, putting others before himself. And he was filled with the joy and peace of the Lord. So where was God? In all of it. In all of it. May we be able to see his working. Tom has touched many of us over the years, many more ways than he has myself, for many of you that have known him for years and years. He's left a legacy on his family. He's left a legacy with Deb. He's left a legacy with the boys and the extended family. Here's my question. Here's the challenge. What are you going to do with that legacy that he's left behind? What are you going to do? Are you going to live it out? Are you going to use that to be, are you going to use that as motivation to tell others, or are you going to hide it and store it in your heart? I don't think there's anything wrong with storing it in your heart, but make sure you use that as motivation to go live out and be the man and the woman that he's called you to be. In January of 2016, my world got turned upside down. Actually, right before New Year's, my dad went from having complete conversations to being diagnosed with leukemia, and within 24 hours, he was gone. And I had a choice, because he was my rock. He was my best friend outside of my wife. I had a choice. Was I going to live out and continue his legacy, or was I going to hide? Or was I going to crawl in a hole and give up? I encourage you to be strong, bold, and courageous. As we read so many times in the Word of God, fear not, for I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Stand on his promises. Not just during the holidays, not just in the valley times, but each and every day, stand on his promises. You see, we live in the culture, and we all know this, that tells us that as long as we're good people and we haven't done anything too extravagant or too horrid, that we're going to go to heaven. And it gives many of us a false sense of security, and that can't be farther from the truth. And as a pastor, one of the things that grieves me deeply is seeing people that are looking for signs in the sky, knowing that their loved one is okay. They're looking for that justification. Well, I can tell you with Tom, and you all know this, that that's not the case. We don't need to find any kind of justification for where he is. And I know Tom would want me to share the good news of Jesus with each of you. It's ABC simple. I'd like to read just a couple of verses. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day. According to the scriptures." The ABCs of salvation. The A stands for admit or acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. In Romans chapter 3, it says, "That as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one." And we go down a couple of verses to verse 23, and it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need to be reborn spiritually. And then we go three chapters down to Romans 6. It says, bad news, good news, bad news, for the wages of sin is death. We have been sentenced to death because of our sin. But here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He can give you that peace that surpasses all understanding amidst any kind of storm. The A, admit or acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And the B and C go hand in hand with Romans chapter 10. The B stands for believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. And the C stands for call upon the name of the Lord and confess with your mouth. And it says this in Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Romans 10 answers this question, who can be saved? It's very clear. All who call upon the name of the Lord. It's not a social status. It's not a reputation thing. It's all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Acknowledge your sin and put your trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins. You will be a new creation. You will see things differently. Where is God? He's all around us. May we have the strength, the boldness, and the courage to live that out daily. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is truth, that your word is life, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, if there is someone here who doesn't know where they stand, I ask that they would recognize you calling them into your arms. They would just say this simple prayer, Jesus, I need you. I recognize I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Change me from the inside out. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin and help me to begin life anew with you. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate your birth, your death, and your resurrection in this Advent season. Holy Spirit, I pray for the Donnan family and friends, the extended family. Holy Spirit, help them to grieve the way you want them to. It's not a time thing. I believe it's an act of worship when we can grieve. So thank you for surrounding the family. Thank you for surrounding them and holding them in your hands. Thank you for guiding them and leading them. And thank you for what you're going to do moving forward. I pray, especially for Deb, that she would find your strength. She would continue to find your strength day in and day out. That she would continue to stand up for you and be strong, bold, and courageous. For the boys, may they continue to be who you want them to be. May they be bold for you. And for the extended family, may they find you in not just the big things, but the little ones as well. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together, Silent Night. Yes, ma'am. I'm so sorry, Katie. I'm so sorry. Let's sing together, Silent Night. Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing. Alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Lord Jesus, thank you again for this time that we can come and worship you, that we will praise you even in the storms. We will praise you in the mountaintops. We will praise you in the valleys. We will praise you in everything that we do because we know that you are in control. Your ways are not ours. Your thoughts are not ours. So help us not take the wheel or take control, but help us to live in a way that glorifies you and blesses you. We love you with all of our hearts. Lord, once again, I pray for the family, for Katie, for Tom, for Gary, for Deb. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your comfort. No, help them to recognize that they are not alone. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. May you all be the lights and the salt of the earth that he has called you to be. May you be strong, bold, and courageous, continuing to declare the promises of God and knowing that he is all around you. He is in front of you, behind you. He is with you. He is with you, and he is for you. God bless you.